faith in friendships. Faith in friendships. Our text today will be coming from John, the 15th chapter. Our opening text, verses 13 through 15, reading from the New King James. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. I no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray for clarity at this time. We pray for just a greater understanding of your word. Dear Lord, we pray that those who are listening to this, Lord, will be blessed by it. And Lord, you would bless me as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to talk about faith in friendships. And let's just talk about friends for a moment. There's a statement that says the number of friends we confide in has shrunk over the past decades, new research shows. And if asked how many friends you have, some may have trouble distinguishing between the lengthy list of Facebook friends and close pals they can confide in. Well, it turns out America's list of the close type has shrunk to two, down from three confidants 25 years ago, a new study shows. The study also found that there is a growing number of us who have zero confidants, or the socially isolated has not increased over these decades, but as scientists suspected based on a 2006 study, but instead it's shown that it's tripled. America's social isolation between 1985 and 2004. So people are feeling more isolated than ever before, which is ironic because people are turning to social media more than ever before. If you are blessed enough to have friends, the question is, what type will they be? And we've all seen that icon of Facebook, and that Facebook icon is associated with the term friend. Well, the world has this idea of what friends look like, but so does the Bible. And God's word tells us this in Proverbs 13 and 20. He who walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. In other words, depending on whom you associate with, whom you would join with to be a friend, will determine the quality of your life and your understanding. Proverbs 22 and 24 and 25 says this: make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. You know, what I found from my own personal experience and what I've observed is people learn from whom they associate with. And so if they've got petty and trifling friends, they begin to get very petty and very trifling. If you have friends who are kings or queens of criticism, then all of a sudden you will see the person become to get more and more critical. Again, people will begin to reflect the characteristics and the character traits of those whom they surround themselves, those whom they associate with. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says this: do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. You know, Jesus was a friend of sinners, but he didn't change. Most people, when they hang out with other people, they will adjust to the behavior of those they hang out with. Bad friends, bad associations will mess you up. They will lead you astray, as the Proverbs text warn, but they will also put you in bad situations. The Bible will give an example of that in 2 Samuel 13. 2 Samuel 13, starting in verse 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, son of Shimeah, David's brother. This is his cousin. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man, and he said to him, "Why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." So Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see him, say, 'Please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" Wow, what a friend. What a friend, Jonadab. If he was a real friend, see, and you heard the old saying, friends don't let friends drive drunk, meaning friends will tell you the truth. You are too drunk to be driving. No matter whether you say, "No, I'm cool," "No, I'm all right." No, a friend's not going to allow you to drive drunk. But in this case, in Amnon's case, Jonadab should have told Amnon what the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel 13 and 2. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin. And here it is. And it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. A friend, a true friend, will warn you about trouble. A friend won't let you drive drunk. A friend won't allow you to sexually harass, to date rape, or sexually assault women, or men for that matter. A friend will warn you. And you know what? Friends will step away when they see that you are determined to do wrong. But they will be there for you as you suffer the penalty or the consequences for the wrong that you do. See, that's true friendship. Real friends are there for you when there's trouble, but real friends don't lead you into trouble. I'm going to say that again because that's very important. Real friends are there for you when there's trouble. If you've got trouble going on in your life and all of a sudden these so-called friends are gone, they really weren't friends. But at the same time, a real friend will not lead you into trouble. Now, let's take a look at Job. Real friends show up, and they're present when there was no party, no good times. They show up in hard times in Job 2 and 11. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar, they did not recognize them. They lifted their voices and wept. Each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down on the ground 7 days and 7 nights. No one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Friends, real friends will be present with you in your distress. You know, I find it interesting. As a pastor, you do hospital visits, and you will see the nature of friendships or whether a person has no friends, because when people come to visit someone and they're in the hospital and they're in a bad way, you know, folks who are true friends are ones that the person has to pretty much, well, tell they need to go, or a relative tells them, "Hey, look, give him some rest." Whereas other people, when they see a person in a distressful condition, they will duck in and they will duck out, and sometimes they won't even come. But real friends will be present with you in your distress. Fair-weather friends are phony friends. Job 42:8-9 shows us this, that real friends will pray with you, and real friends pray for you. "Now, therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. So the friends of his friends had been off base in their assumptions. See, they were being friends by trying to go to Job and get him to repent. But see, they assumed in their limited knowledge that Job had messed up and that he really offended God. And that was the only reason why he was suffering the way that he was. But God corrected and stated that he only accepted Job's prayer for his friends. And real friends pray for you. So let's talk about John 15, 13 through 15. Jesus says this, John 15, 13 through 15. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So understand this. A good friend, the truest of friends, will have a love for you, as the text states. No greater love, no bigger love, no grander love, no realer love, no more preeminent love, no more substantial love, no more bigger demonstration of love, of friendship, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You know, let me tell you something. Did you know this? That the largest mass arrests of Jewish rabbis in American history happened in June of 1964 at the Monsoon Motor Lodge in St. Augustine, Florida. These rabbis came at Dr. Martin Luther King's request to protest the discrimination and to address this violent act against the civil disobedience of swimming in a segregated pool. And so some folks swam in the pool, and at that time the country had very hard and harsh laws that said, you know, separate, blacks could not be in the same pool as whites. And so folks came and they did an act of civil disobedience, and they swam in the pool. And as they swam in the pool, and there's a classic photograph from this Monsoon Motor Lodge there in St. Augustine, the manager of the hotel pours chemicals while there's black children in the pool. And so Dr. Martin Luther King requested rabbis to come and to stand up for friends. And they came. They came to Florida and they got arrested. Andrew Goodman left his home and came to Mississippi to help friends he didn't know. He and Michael Schirner and James Chaney were on their way to Philadelphia, Mississippi, to investigate an arson attack on a black church, the Mount Zion Methodist Church. And so Andrew Goodman said this. He said, "A people must have dignity and identity." And that 21-year-old said something so profound, and he went on to make the identity of being he went on to consider that the identity of being American was not completely right or complete if you were being denied your freedoms. And so because for African Americans, their fullest freedom was being denied, this Jewish man, this young Jewish man, lost his life trying to be a friend to empower his friends. This young man died trying to be a friend to those who were oppressed. The sad thing is, you know, that we have folks that don't even know that now. They don't even know the name or the face or the action of this friend. This Jewish friend's life was sacrificed so that friends could be free. Wow. You know, that sounds like another young Jewish man who died for friends. Friends who didn't even know that he was their friend. And you know what? We can have faith in friendships. God is our God and our creator. But you know what? He's also our friend. And he's trying to bring us closer to him. God is a great friend. He's willing to overlook our unfriendliness. He's willing to overlook our unfaithfulness. He's willing to overlook our disloyalty. He's willing even to overlook our ignoring his friendship. He's willing to overlook all of that unfriendliness. And God is still willing to put all into this friendship. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because Jesus said, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I call you friends." You know, there's a song that says, "I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend." He calls us friend through our faith. Through our faith, there's friendship. I have a friend. You have a friend. We have a friend. And that friend is Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins to bear. No greater love than this friend Jesus. See, no greater love than this friend, our friend Jesus had, because you know why? He laid down his life. He laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for his enemies. He laid down his life and he died. And the song goes on to say, "With all our griefs and sins." Now, that's how he died. That's how he died. And though he died, guess what? Our friend is still alive. Our friend is still alive. Not because of CPR, not because of a near-death experience. No, this friend surely died, but God brought our friend back alive. He's alive. He's alive with love. He's alive with divine fellowship, and he's alive with divine friendship. He's alive. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a friend. Oh, what a friend. Oh, what a friend. How much of a friend? What does the song say? What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.